Here comes Kupp in motion to balance it out 2x2. Stafford has a snap, four-man rush, pressure in his face, goes out the left side, ducks the rush, flips to the end zone, caught! Cooper Kupp from Matthew Stafford! A primetime edition of Nine and Dime!
Matt Stafford making Zach Wilchuk look great over Bobby Belt last night. Cooper Kupp maybe not getting traded as Stafford throws for four touchdowns, and the Rams with a very impressive win over the Minnesota Vikings. That was Thursday Night Football on Rams Radio. Good morning, Metroplex. Sean, RJ, and Bobby with you. But now it's time to pick Sunday night. 4 o'clock pregame on this radio station. Bobby is going to San Fran. Because of that, we have a San Francisco dark roast. Buckle up for that coming up in a matter of minutes. But I'm having a really, really, really hard time with this game. It's a 4.5-point spread, injuries galore, and the over-under is 47.5. We need your official selections on the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line. Before we get to it, RJ Choppy with the 5 things you want to see.
All right, Sean Sharif, Bobby Belt, Peyton Fussell. Number one.
Don't say that.
That's about to be Peyton person. Tussle. You keep talking.
That's right. It is a real person, isn't it?
Yep.
Let's move on.
Number one, Dalvin Cook. First and foremost, that's what I want to see. I don't care about excuses. He's not ready. This or that. He's hurt. I don't care. I don't even care if he stinks. All right. The bottom line is the other guys, they're cheeks, as the kids would say. And why you. Nobody, it's like in the movie Miracle, where Herb Brooks said to Jim Craig, you just gave up 10 goals, it's anybody's net. It's anybody's backfield. Nobody is deserved to claim this backfield. Number two.
And still no word on my possibility that Dalvin Cook plays Sunday night.
I think you were right.
Yeah, he plays.
I think Sean was right.
But no one has said anything.
Not yet, but I think you're going to be right.
Number two. Dak to shine in the 2 games against the 2 best teams the Cowboys have faced this year, Baltimore and Detroit. He was not good. He had a 50 QBR in one and an 11 in the other. Now, don't let the 50 fool you. How much of that was in the second half when they were making their comeback? I mean, they were getting walloped.
I think QBR affects for some of that, though. Like, I think you get dinged for garbage time stuff.
You do, but it also boosts fourth quarter, and he was pretty good in the fourth. Number three. The secondary, actually stand up and fight in this one. This is as depleted as you're ever going to see San Fran. There's no Ayuk. Jennings has a hip. Debo's got like long COVID or something. if they can't stop the passing game this week, I'm not sure it's ever going to happen for them against San Francisco. Number four, I want them to play the game without a kicker. If he's still on jury duty, I don't want them to add a kicker. Okay, field goals get you beat. Go for it on fourth down in plus territory. Mm-mm. Go for two if you're lucky enough to score a TD. Field goals are going to get you beat in this game.
This is the game to kick all the field goals.
Ooh.
Because the only thing I feel really, really confident about in this is taking the under.
Oh, I'm definitely.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
So this is going to be take your points where you can get them. If Kittle and Debo, and we know McCaffrey are not there.
Yeah, McCaffrey, Ayuk definitely out.
I'm saying take the points.
Yeah.
Jennings is like projected to play on my fantasy thing, but it's like he could be out for 2 plays. One tackle.
People don't talk about him enough. He's good. Juwan Jennings is really good.
Go Vols. Number 5. CD to actually do something. So I went and looked. I went a little deep dive into CD's numbers. If you take out the individual longest play from each game, all right? So the each play, so you go, it's the longest play. His games would be 6 for 62, 4 for 35, 6 for 43, 3 for 36, 3 for 25, 4 for 27. Now, maybe you could do this for every big play wide receiver. I don't know. I didn't go into everybody else.
Yeah.
But just with him, I mean, that just... I don't know. I thought of CD. That seemed low. That seemed low for what he should be and what he has been. So I really needed him to step up in this game.
All right, Bobby, how do you see this? How do you start trying to figure this out?
You know, McCarthy had made the point this morning that San Francisco is one of those teams where even if they were down all 5 of those guys,
By the way, Lamb is 10th in the NFL in yardage.
Yeah.
Even if they're down all five of those guys, they're not changing the way they play. Like, you know, when we talk about, well, how does it change when this guy goes out or this guy comes in here in Dallas? Like, what are we shifting or adjusting? San Francisco says, we're going to play physical and run the ball a lot. Like, that's what we do regardless of who's out there because we've got a scheme that we believe in and a style, and that's what we're committed to. So I think they're going to, regardless of what the eight men in the box look like or anything else, San Francisco's going to run the hell out of the ball and say, well, let's see if you guys can tackle us because we don't think you can.
So that's the X factor for me. Will San Fran, with whatever extra attention the Cowboys do or don't pay, will they be able to push us around and run it at will like years past with the state of their run game?
Yeah, they will. Jordan Mason has been a revelation for them. He's been great. Brian and I were talking about this yesterday. He reminds me, he's a little bigger, but he reminds me of Mark Ingram, like the running style and the way that he plays. And so I think the way that he's been, he has the highest broken tackle rate in the NFL among any running back this year. So he's getting stuff on his own. It's not just what's blocked up for him.
What was your Derrick Henry stat? You had the commercial break after speaking of broken tackles and contact.
Since 2017, Derrick Henry has more rush yards after contact. Okay, I'm going to say it slower. Since 2017, Derrick Henry has more rush yards after contact than any running back in the NFL has rush yards since 2017. That is
no way.
It's insane.
Wow.
Of his 9,000 plus yards that he's had since 2017, only 2,000 have come before contact.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
So that's improvement.
But you couldn't afford him. All right. So let's not even live in the past.
Jerry Jones today on KMC at 10:30.
I do think their defense is much more vulnerable than it's been in years past where Dallas has played them. They've dealt with injuries and things like that, but man, they've got a lot of issues with tackling. Yeah. They've given up a lot of yards after catch. They've had issues with separation, where they'll give up these gaps, and they consistently have this issue of fourth quarter collapses. This year, San Francisco is, I think they're plus 40 in the point differential in the first three quarters. In the fourth quarter, they're getting outscored by 17 points.
They are mid-pack in many defensive categories, stealing from Nick Eatman, brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Yards allowed per game, 14th. Points allowed, 16th. Bosa has 44.5 sacks in the last 3 years. He's got 3.5 through seven games this year.
Yeah, and so this is a game where I think you will be able to have some things that you can take advantage of in San Francisco's defense if you're able to get some guys in space, if you're able to bring back some of the crossing routes. Hopefully that's part of the tweaks that they made during the bye week. You can take advantage of those things. I still look at it and I go, it's still San Francisco. This is a great example of why 3-3 and 3-4 are not indicative of who these two teams are, because it's a stark difference on tape. San Francisco's better.
And another Parcellsism that has proven that I disagree with over the years.
Yeah, and so I've got San Francisco in this one, 27-13.
27-13?
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. Pepe, what are the Tolos saying? Because I'm having a really hard time. Where are they going?
Well, Sean, don't stress about it. It's a lot of 49ers predictions as expected. 9-7-2, some close games, though. 9-7-2, San Fran wins 31-21. 2-1-4 says 28-24, San Fran. 4-2-5, 34-13, San Fran. But the 2-1-4 says 23-20, Cowboys.
Yeah, I'm like, how are those amount of points going to be scored if the injury lists are correct? Chop, what are you feeling?
I think the under absolutely plays, and I have San Fran 24-17. I just think that the Cowboys have a real tough time, obviously, stopping the run. San Fran can do that. That Shanahan system, since like 92, has been running the ball effectively with a plug-and-play. And even though the system's evolved, it could still run, and the Cowboys just can't stop it.
I want to pick the Cowboys to win 23-20. I want to. I'm like, you have CeeDee Lamb, you have Ferg, you have Prescott. They're banged up. No, Purdy coming off a bad game against the Chiefs, but I can't get the physicality, the run game, and coaching out of my mind. So I'm going to go like 21-17, 24-20, 49ers. But I want to pick Cowboys 23-20. They're in a good mood, good vibes coming off the bye, but I'm going to barely go San Fran. But I think right now I feel like the Cowboys can win the game. But then,
yeah, things got to go right. They got win the turnover battle for a start, but they can win the game.
Things have to go right. They could slug out a close win. They have no one to go to except handing off the football.
That has been a big issue, by the way, for San Francisco this year. If you look at what's the difference between last year and this year, if you're looking for areas, turnovers, they are turning the ball over a ton in a way that they have not in the last few years.
Pepe, what are you feeling?
Well, I'm going to do it. Look, this is the easiest 49ers team the Cowboys have faced in the last 4 years. There's no reason to lose this game, really, in my opinion. You have everyone you need. You're coming off a bye week.
You're
3-0 on the road this season. I'm picking Cowboys 19-17.
19-17.
Okay. Good movie.
Scorigami-esque from Peyton.
Yeah, it was.
Russell. Always dangerous, but always entertaining. Bobby is going to California.
Very bad place, California.
It's time for the dark roast.
Is there a barista here? Because this roast just got dark.
Oh! All right.
Are you going to go to the house? Are you going to go see the house?
No, because we're not even going to be in San Francisco. It's San Jose. There, they don't play in San Francisco. They play in Santa Clara.
Shout out my aunt. Aunt in San Jose.
All right. Let's see how long I can go with this roast before I make the obvious joke about San Francisco that makes Sean lose his mind. I know there's been a lot of talk about Jerry telling us what to say in recent weeks, that he's our boss, he pays us, whatever else. That's patently untrue. The only person who tells us what to say on this station is Lisa McCaffrey. The Cowboys are reversing the national trend and leaving Texas for California this weekend. There's been a lot of discussion about the distractions the Cowboys have with all the tours and everything like that at the start. But San Francisco, each city presents their own challenges. San Francisco's got a lot of challenges too, like the lifting of COVID restrictions, microaggressions, gas-powered vehicles. These are all things that...
All the overnight dancers.
Exactly. These are all things that they all have to deal with. Now, you hear the music there. San Francisco was the backdrop for the 90s family show Full House, which that's what I always think of default is when I think of San Francisco's Full House. A little bit of an unrealistic depiction of San Francisco, if you ask me. Sure, I mean, they had three well-groomed men raising children together, but to think half a dozen San Francisco residents would have housing is just a little bit much. You always hear about how when you show up to California, you hear people who, when they go there the first time, they're like, it's like you're in the movies. It's like I've just stepped into a movie. The problem is that when you go to San Francisco, that movie is Boys in the Hood. complete with a story about a young up-and-coming football player named Ricky getting shot in broad daylight. I actually don't know if they figured out what the motive was for that. I imagine it was probably something like he asked one of those stuck-up California servers to split a check for him, and they just snapped. Cowboys and 49ers kick off at 7:20 on Sunday night right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Well, that's tame. Very tame. Very good.
Well done. The dark roast from Bobby Roberto Belt. The Clay debut, and RJ gets you ready for your football weekend with college and NFL degenerate betting action, all that, then Mike McCarthy looking out for Bobby's health right here on The Fan. But I'm looking out for your Friday night. You want to have fun? You want to have a blast? Well, the party is going down at Hurtado Arlington. They got three little areas right there that we experienced for Fan Bowl 2024. We got the barbecue with the amazing food. Then we got the patio area where we had the paper football tournament right there in the middle. And then we have Haters. It's the bar where the Halloween party is going down tonight in Arlington starting at 7 o'clock. DJ and karaoke from 8 to 11. Drink specials all day starting at 5 o'clock today. $1 tacos, costume prizes as well. This is 213 East Front Street, Hurtado, Arlington. The Haters Halloween party. It's going to be right there in the bar setup. 213 East Front Street. Dollar tacos starting at 5 o'clock. Drink specials all day starting there for lunch. DJ and the karaoke and the costume prizes. Tell them Sean for the Fans sent you tonight to the Hurtado Halloween party.
Grimes is going to come in for Irving in the corner. Clay Thompson with a beautiful stroke and a three. And the Mavs by two.
The great Kevin Harlan with the call. Clay is the story to me. Scoring 22, hitting six threes. Defensively active as well as the Mavs eventually pull away from the Spurs. It was a 2-for-2 night in DFW as the Stars went on the road and took down the Massholes, but the Mavs win 120-109. What type of Luka were we going to see? I was keeping close track of that.
Before, one with an adult haircut.
Ooh.
Is that thing in the back adult where it kind of goes down into the point?
I liked it. He was getting roasted for it on Twitter from what I saw.
Well, yes, but
is it adult?
Well, it's better than what he used to have. That was like I'm an 11-year-old Serbian kid haircut. I don't know. The other one was just like, let's go to Supercuts and just give me what you know how to do.
Yeah.
This one, I thought, this one had it's some dog to it. It's the kind you want.
Jason Kidd. On what made Klay and what makes him so effective on the floor?
Klay's being patient. Klay's, trying to figure out his spots. We're trying to get him on the move. Again, Klay's ability on a miss to be able to throw it, the throw ahead is one of the hardest plays to guard in this league. Klay's ability to knock down threes on the throw ahead on a catch is a special play that we don't. We're not sitting here saying run it. That's just basketball. And Luka and Kai and those guys, PJ, understand the throw ahead to Klay puts a lot of pressure on the defense. And we trust that if Klay's not shooting it, he can put it on the floor and make decisions. I thought PJ, again, bringing the ball touched the paint. He found Klay there in the corner. Being able to run to the corners as much as Klay did tonight was a positive and something that we've been working on.
So Charles Barkley is 0-for-1 in saying that Klay would have zero impact. And that made a lot of Mavs fans happy yesterday, saying that Barkley says that the opposite is going to take place. And he was a big, even bigger hater in the post game, saying that they'd be a 6, a 7, or an 8 seed. The Shaquille O'Neal agree.
I've always said Dallas needs a third scorer. If Klay Thompson could add 20 points a game, they will win the championship.
Oh, no.
Come on, man.
A sticky note is Klay will average 20 and they will win. That's a sticky note.
Well, you know, I believe in Klay. Klay will average 20 and they will win the championship.
Okay, there you go.
There we go. There we go.
Now that is worthy of a post-it.
Speak up.
Klay will average 20 and the Mavs will win the championship.
If he averages 20. I believe in Klay.
Well, if he averages 20, he's an all-star.
Your mama named you Klay. Hey, come on, Klay.
Man, did he get forced into that. Vegas, the over-under win total, 49.5. Last year, they opened at 44.5 wins. I think Bassett went 55 yesterday. The exact NBA Finals matchup that people expect, Boston-OKC 9-1. If you think it's going to be a rematch and the Mavs can get there, you don't even have to have the Mavs winning it. If you think it's going to be Mavs-Massholes, 14-1. And then the next Dallas matchup would be against the New York Knicks at 23-1. That's what Vegas has for them right now.
Yeah, if they were to get back to the Finals, I think that would probably not be necessarily a surprise, but they're certainly not the favorites in the West.
No.
And I don't know that they necessarily should be.
Because last night, and Denver started off nicely, I wake up, the Thunder won by 15 in Denver.
Yeah, and look, the natural progression of a really great team is that you get to a point, you lose, then you move on to the next one. And look, the Mavericks, had gotten to the West Finals before. They lost. And then, when they got to it again, they wound up breaking through. Boston is just too good, I think, to be able to break through the Celtics. Look, injuries can happen. Anything can happen. But, Oklahoma City's probably the favorite in the West. I think Denver's right there. I don't know about Minnesota.
Charles is 0-for-1. Luka is 1-for-1. Last night, I didn't care about his scoring. He was going to be rusty. He was short on a lot of his shots. That's why he was 9-of-25 from the field. I asked Chuck Cooperstein and everyone else, are we going to get tame, mature Luka or emotional Luka? Luka Doncic, forget 1-for-1. He was 2-for-2 last night. He was different. He was calm. Raised his hand for fouls. Did not whine. And I saw some active hands from him with some defensive effort. He only ended up with one steal. I thought Luka Doncic, maturity-wise, defensively, but definitely maturity more so. Check and check, 2 for 2 last night. I'm going to be watching it closely.
We talked about learning how to lose. Did he learn how to lose the right way after getting kicked out of the Boston game when they were making that comeback and then they didn't have him for the last few minutes? Was that enough of a wake-up call for him to say, I got to reflect on this during the offseason and I got to change the way I do things?
Must hear Mike McCarthy at 8:40 this morning. Before that, RJ Choppy gets you set for your full football weekend gambling.
We just keep winning. Now, last week, we were 5-5.
Okay.
But
just keep winning.
We're 41-23 for the year.
Oh.
And after an 11-11 start to the season, we're 30-12. So, yeah.
That's good.
Did you just tip your cap to yourself?
I did.
That's what it looked like.
I did. College or pro first, kids? Which one do you want?
Let's go pro.
All right. Well, we already said the Cowboys, San Fran, under 47. We like the under 47 points here. I've also seen it at 47.5, so I'll give myself the extra hook on that one. I like Chicago -3 against Washington.
Mm. Sounds like Jane Daniels is going to miss.
Yeah. So now listen, if he plays, if we find out that he's going to play, this is one of those things where you wait until Sunday morning to place your bet on that one. But if he's out, I like Chicago -3. I like Baltimore -8.5 against Cleveland. It's a road game, but I'm taking Baltimore -8.5. They're a much, much better team. I'm interested to see how Cleveland plays with Jameis. Very, very interested to see this one.
Gotta lose, ride or die.
This is one of those weekends, just going to preface this. I'm betting them. I don't love this weekend slate in either college or pro. I think there's some bad lines out here. But I'm also going to take Detroit -11.5 against Tennessee. It's a home game. Tennessee's awful. Detroit should easily put up 31 in this one. And I don't know that Tennessee could score 20. So take Detroit -11.5. College football. I know they're missing their quarterback, but I still like Indiana -6.5 against Washington. Why? Because he wins, Google him. Mm-hmm. The head coach, this guy is so cocky. He is going to run the exact same offense with a backup versus a starter. He's so fantastic.
Is he your new, who was the Minnesota coach you love?
PJ Fleck.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I like PJ for, I said PJ's a process guy. Kurt is just he's a middle finger to the entire world kind of guy.
Big football guy.
Plus, Washington has shown when they leave the Pacific Northwest, they're just not very good. I can't believe I'm going to do this, but I'm going to take Butch Jones, and I'm going to lay 7.5, Arkansas State -7.5 against Troy. Troy might be the worst team in college football. I like Navy +13.5 against Notre Dame. It's a neutral site game. I think Navy is actually a live dog here. I think it's like +420 on the money line. I'm tempted to take Navy outright, but take Navy +13.5. Minnesota -4 against Maryland. There's your PJ Fleck guy. I like Missouri +17 against Alabama. Alabama isn't 17 points better than anybody.
Mm.
Not better than air, nobody. UTSA -7.5 against Tulsa. And finally, the pick of the weekend, Vandy +18.5 against Texas at home.
Yeah, whatever Vandy's cheer is or whatever they say. Yeah.
Go Doors.
Diego Pavia joined
us wealthy
1 hour ago. Real quick, before Mike McCarthy joins the show, what the heck is happening at Penn State?
Disturbing situations are happening at Penn State.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. So, now listen, I know that James Franklin wasn't at Penn State as a coach when the Jerry Sandusky thing happened, right? He wasn't there when this scandal broke. But when you're at that school, you cannot take this approach. So there's a player on his team that is accused of some really, really awful things, sexual assault and beyond that. And the university released a statement about the incident. But the media, as they're supposed to do, decides that they are going to ask James Franklin about this at his press conference. Now, there's a visual.
Two of his former players accused of raping a 17-year-old.
So, now, this is very visual, but
it's cringy.
It's very cringy. We could play this, but this is James Franklin at the podium, and when there's a gap, that's James walking to the side of the podium away from everybody else.
Guys, how we doing?
Good. This is obviously a serious and sensitive subject. I know Greg read that, but we haven't heard anything from you on this.
John, we released a university statement. All right, do I need to read the statement again?
If you would like.
All right. Regarding the two former Penn State football players, we released a statement yesterday, and our program and athletic department will have no further comment. If you need the statement, please reach out to me or Chris.
Hey, guys, any questions?
James, at what point in the summer were you aware that these guys were not going to be on the team?
Again, guys, the university already released a statement. If you need the statement, reach out to me or Chris. We'll have no further comment.
Are there questions about Wisconsin?
I hope Penn State loses every game the rest of the way. I'm not joking. For you to give attitude back to the media, you have not commented on it, and James Franklin just wants to walk past the podium. That was ridiculous, especially after what has happened there in the past with Paterno and Sandusky. Shame on you. Shame on your leadership. What was that kid popping pimples, the SID?
Oh, he was 25 years old if he was a day.
Screw you guys right now. I'm gonna say right now, I'm gonna hold out for further information. But that's the way you address it? You all have already had practice with this. What are you doing? Mike McCarthy, surprised that we're still employed and looking out for Bobby's health? The head coach of the Cowboys joins us next. Good morning, Metroplex. It is now time for the Mike McCarthy Show. Every Friday at this time, brought to you by Black Rifle Coffee Company, the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. I'm Sean Treif alongside RJ Choppy, Cowboys insider Bobby Belt, joined by Coach. Good morning, man. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. God, it's good to hear your voice.
Thrilled.
What do you guys? I can't even say what a straight face is. What have you guys been up to?
Surprised to hear from us, huh?
Okay, hang on. When you first heard about or saw, did you go, the idiots in the morning, it had to be these fools?
Huh? Oh, no, I just know we have such a great show, and I think, you know, sometimes, you know, other shows try to get competitive, and, you know, and they try to upstage this remarkable session that we have on Friday. So I get it. It was a good attempt. I mean, you guys got some national, exposure out of it. So I don't know how much you paid Jerry for that, but that was a smart move on your guys' part.
No, Mike, Jerry pays us.
That's right.
You got it.
I think I heard that too.
I was most offended. Not that we were football dummies. Not that we're paid. I was most offended that he goes, I think Mike has a show. I know I have a show. Steven has a show. Yeah. I'm like, damn, Jerry. Fridays, man. Fridays at 6:30.
Come on. Act like you don't know we have a show on Friday. I mean, everybody's pulling over in their car right now. They just can't wait for what's going on.
Coach, that's not even the best thing that I wanted to go over with you. I heard that you noticed someone the other day in 90-degree weather at practice wearing a sweatshirt and a hoodie. Do you recall that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's my look. It's my look. What do you want?
I mean, it's the executive workout. It's a smart move. I get it.
The executive workout? I like it.
Bobby just wanted to smell like the whole Cowboys locker room after a practice. What happened, Bobby? How were you? How was Mike jarred?
Mike was just walking on the field, and he goes, you all right? Why are you wearing a hoodie? Because it was almost 90 degrees, and I did have a bright yellow hoodie on. But I came straight from the station. I was just running straight over to practice.
Yeah, so. You can't wear a T-shirt underneath a sweatshirt or have another shirt in your car.
No, absolutely not.
Well, especially where you were standing, too. I mean, it gets hot down, in that end.
Yeah, it's beaming off of the building there where we're getting all the sun reflection.
Well, we know he's an attention whore, Coach, so that's his way of standing.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, that's what it was. Mike McCarthy joining us here on 105.3 The Fan. Coach, how tough is it to prepare for a game like this? How much scouting goes out the window with all the injury questions that are out there on both sides, but obviously you guys trying to figure out San Francisco with all these question marks?
I wouldn't say it goes out the window. I think, clearly, it's you are who you are as far as what you believe in and the approach to the game. So, I mean, the way they, line up on defense and offense and, conceptually how they're going to attack, in each and every situation, there'll definitely be some similarities. I mean, it's always a variation of something that you've done, that's part of your foundation. So, the biggest thing, I think you've already made the point, is just make sure you educate and get as much film on the individuals you think are going to play. So, and I'm sure they're doing the same with us.
Coach, Belichick has always talked about, you know, the stages of the season to develop and figure things out, but the stages of a game. Do you approach it the same way? Like first quarter, feeling out. Second quarter, adjustments. A quarter by quarter kind of sparring that takes place. And does that take place even more for a game where both sides are playing a lot of backups possibly?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think it's clearly, you know, not only the way you play the game, but it's the way you train. You know, like, for instance, this morning, you know, I'm sitting here working on the, the first 15 because, you know, our Friday schedule is called Fast Start and Furious Finish Friday. So we really emphasize the beginning of the game and at the end of the game. So because those are two important, obviously, parts of the game, that, you know, going off to which you've already asked. And what we talk about is the ebb and flow of every game because, you know, all the plays and all the situations in every football game are the same. It's just a matter of what order that they come in. And that's why, you know, every single game is never the same. So you got to be in tune with the ebb and flow of the game because there's things that go on early in games and, you know, your instincts and awareness to anticipate that. And then you have the ups and downs throughout the game. And then when you get down to the fourth quarter, I mean, there's some situation specific keys that you have to be on top of, you know, especially, you know, the score of the game, obviously the timeouts, you know, where you're at on the field with momentum, and you got to be able to apply all the things that happened during the course of that game to, you know, go win the thing in the fourth quarter.
Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. Coach, there's a note this week from NFL Research that said San Francisco runs, it's either the tightest or the second tightest formations on average in the NFL, and that you guys run the widest formations on average in the NFL. Could you just explain in whatever simplest terms there are, the schematic thought behind running such a tight formation versus running things a little bit wider like that?
Yeah, definitely. No, I mean, I'm definitely aware of the statistic. I think it's like anything, they're measuring the alignment of your number one receiver on each side of the ball. I think just like anything, I think if you break those type of statistics down even further, you know, A, based off situation, B, you know, the situation in the game, you know, whether it's first and second down, 2 minute and so forth. So, you know, I'm aware where, you know, we've been high in 3-by-1 and 2-by-2 standard formations, which is a full spread formation that's, I think, more reflective of the amount of 2-minute offense that we've been in. But also, I think the incorporation of how you attack the perimeter blocking has a lot to do with it. So, you know, their run game in the first and second down is more of a two-back and things like that where we've been more one-back. So you look at all those factors, but really the statistic is purely off of the alignment of the number one receiver on each side of the ball.
Mike McCarthy joining us here, 105.3 The Fan. Look, it's no secret that y'all have struggled with them a little bit, to say the least, over the last couple of years. How much of that is their players versus their scheme? Like, how can you differentiate between the two?
Well, I think they go hand in hand. I mean, you have to, you know, because, you know, some players play better in certain schemes. I mean, stating, you know, the obvious there, but yeah, they do a really good job, you know, schematically sticking to what they believe in. Even on defense, they've gone back to more of a 2021, 2022, identity as far as what they're doing schematically than what they did last year. So what they do, they have excellent players. They're well coached, and you know that's a tough place to play. So it's a competitive game that we're really looking forward to, and I feel strongly about the way our guys have come off of the bye week. They've been very, very accountable and engaged into the things that we need to really focus on, and we had a hell of a practice yesterday, so felt great watching the tape, felt even better coming off the field yesterday. So, you know, we just got to keep it about ourselves, and that's the way we have always operated, and just got to continue to improve because, you know, we're still green in some areas of our football team. We just got to keep working.
Kansas City did a nice job last week against them, and Spagnuolo's done a really nice job against the Shanahan system for a while. What does he do differently to dial up plays that really kind of confuses them and puts them in tough spots?
Well, I mean, that game was definitely was a slugfest there. Was the first quarter or two. So, and then it, you know, kind of changed in the second half, just going back through the game. But, no, I thought they did a really good job up front. You got to own the line of scrimmage, you know, in every game. And it's definitely the case against these guys. I mean, they're built up front. That's where it starts, you know, offensively as we look at their defense. You know, this is a defensive front that there's a lot of value that's put on there, and they play to it. Line movement is something that they do a lot of, and, you know, I think it's, you know, something that we need to be very conscientious of offensive line-wise, because we've seen a lot of it this year. And I think as far as Kansas City, I thought they did a really good job of owning the line of scrimmage and really keeping their run game under wraps. It's, you know, it starts with the run. You have to stop the run against San Francisco because everything comes off of that.
Coach, you know, you talked about how you feel like you guys have had a good week of practice, had a good practice yesterday. You know, it feels like there have been, like you mentioned, the tone and vibes around the locker room and everything else seem really positive and upbeat this weekend or during this week. And, you know, how you've seemed really confident in the mode of attack and the plan moving forward coming out of the bye week. How you know, during that week that you guys have off, how much are you reasonably able to get done? How much are you reviewing? How much are you looking back versus looking forward? What does that, you know, process look like that has given you guys so much confidence, it feels like?
I tell you, that's a hell of an observation, especially, you know, you being, you know, potentially having a heat stroke. I think, you know, I think it's like every bye week. I mean, it really is so much you can do. We took Monday, and it was all about self scout. I mean, it was the opportunity to go back through, you know, all the pros and cons, offense, defense, and special teams. And then the other part was, you know, we had the ability to do our cross the hall processes, which is, you know, very beneficial for the players. You know, it gives them an opportunity to get a second opinion of sorts from the opposite side of the ball, coaching wise, and you're really hitting a lot of those same, you know, topics just from a different angle and from a different communication platform. So, you know, so I think we did the best we, you know, possibly could in the time frame. The coaches put a ton of time into that process. But then, you know, when they came back, well, really, we ended the day Monday moving on to San Francisco, you know, to get ahead of it. And then, really, when you get back on Wednesday, you got to get into that normal flow and get ready to play the game. So it's been a good week so far.
Coach, you mentioned a little bit ago you were working on the first 15 right now. And I know we've gotten questions before about NFL teams scripting the first several plays on offense. When you look at that process, what in general are you guys looking to accomplish with those first 15 plays? Do you ever reach a point where you say, hey, we have certain rules where we break away from these first 15, or is that a hard and fast rule? Like, we're committed to this and this is what we operate within.
Yeah, I think it's like anything. Everybody, you know, you grew up learning a system, you know, in this league. But then you do it how you feel best fits you and in your football team. I've always put together the top 25 thoughts for first and second down, and then I get into the top thoughts for every situation. I think it's just real important anytime you can bring clarity to the initial, you know, starting line of every game so the guys can really lock in. Hey, this is what he's thinking first. Because, you know, going back to the question about the ebb and flow of a football game, you know, it's just like anything. You want them to anticipate calls. And I think it really starts for me and Dak Prescott on Thursday night, because we'll sit here and go through the whole call sheet, and there's not a lot of, you know, dialogue on things we don't agree on, because I've always felt if you're working throughout the week with the quarterback hand in hand, and it's why I try to spend every possible minute I can in the quarterback room, is, you know, you guys are seeing the game and you're seeing the plan of attack very similarly. And I think that just points to a higher understanding connection throughout your offensive game plan and preparation process. So, I just think it gives guys clarity. And in the old days, you used to do the first 15 on Saturday night. And, you know, and I think what you learn when you're coaching a young team has been my experience. I was like, hell, I'm not waiting until Saturday night. I'm going to get to them Friday morning so that we can practice it Friday and Saturday. So that's been my process for a long time.
Coach, Brock Purdy said something interesting this week. He said that he doesn't call audibles at the line of scrimmage, that the answer to what the defense presents is already baked into the play. What do you think about that take, that philosophy, and also, like, how long for you do you go before you give the quarterback that autonomy to call those audibles?
Well, no, it's the same from our. That's how we do it. Also, I think that's how most people do it. You're chasing looks, you're chasing matchups. So the majority of your plays, you know, have a second option built into it. So, yeah, we don't, you know, there's very few just pure black and white audibles that, mm-hmm. that you go to, because, you know, we call them adjustments, you know, whether it's a protection adjustment, a run game adjustment. So you have to have adjustments, you know, on everything you do, just because you're especially, you know, you're just seeing more scheme today than you ever have, particularly in first and second down. You know, it used to be more your adjustments and audibles were more third down and situational, because it's just like anything from the offensive, you know, side of the plate. Is the first thing I look at on Monday is the defensive coordinator is where does he spend his time? And, you know, some guys spend more time on first and second down. Some guys spend more time on third down. Historically, people always spent more time in the third down and the situationals. But, you know, those trends have shifted. That's why it's important to be on top of the trends and patterns of the National Football League, because, you know, it's always evolving.
Mike McCarthy here on the Friday edition of Sean and RJ 105 through the Fan. Coach, the guys addressed it yesterday, this big article coming out about the tours in the facility. Are the fan tours a distraction, in your opinion?
No, I think it's like anything, and I think just having the experience of working in other organizations, you know, living in other cities, and you know, a lot of our guys, this is all they know, so, and I think you have to, you know, be aware of that too. But you know, every place has, you know, things about it that you know that are just part of the organization or part of the city. You know, I mean, in Green Bay, you better have a big ass coat, you know, for 3 months. So I mean, it's, you know, and there's a lot of positive things there. It's, you know, you can go through my opportunities in the league, Kansas City, New Orleans, and San Francisco. I mean, it's, you know, every place has you know, something. And but no, I don't think so. I think it's just a part of our, you know, it's part of our environment.
How many times in your life have you served on jury duty?
Yeah, zero.
Zero.
So far, but you know, we'll see. Maybe someday. Yeah, just when you think you've seen it all in this league, right, you know, something else happens. So,
hey, Coach, you said this week, you know, that you were going to check on all the bad plays that you guys run. Have you created your PowerPoint at this yet?
You know, that's called a filibuster, guys. that's a no answer, whatever category you want to put that in. So, yeah.
Coach, thank you for having our back, demanding that we stay employed, and checking Bobby's hydration levels. We love you and we appreciate you. Good luck Sunday night.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Have a great weekend.
The show of Wales continues here on Sean and RJ with the man who has the call on TV, Sunday Night Football for Cowboys San Fran, the voice of NBC Sports, Mike Tirico, next on The Fan.